Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today we continue our conversation with the late Rich Mullins.
So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pull me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you.
I think you're on a really exciting, and most people would agree, alternative for our culture, spiritual journey.
One of the places where I feel really called right now is, because I've been talking a lot with Brendan Manning, who's a huge hero of mine.
Oh,
it's amazing,
great guy,
to get to actually meet a hero.
Yeah.
But he's like hammering me, saying, your identity has to come from your understanding that you are beloved by God.
Mm-hmm.
And if your self-concept is based on what other people think of you, or what other people think of your work, or what you think of your work, or the fact that you're that you may see yourself as being intelligent or talented or whatever, or you may see yourself as being addicted and unfaithful, and if your identity is locked into your pluses and minuses, as opposed to locked into the reality of the love of God, you're going to have trouble all your life. Of course, I think you have trouble all your life anyway. I
don't think, but you might as well get it right.
Yeah, that's
you're going to go through it.
Yeah, I guess me and Beaker were talking about this one time, because we've been best friends now for about 10 years, and I think I'm closer to him than, if we were any closer, people would be, suggesting therapy. But we were talking about, man, why is it that we can be this good of friends and we're still both lonely? And what we've realized, from talking to all my married friends, what you begin to realize is companionship isn't a cure for loneliness. The loneliness is just part of being human.
Mm-hmm.
And companionship is merely its own reward. It's just what it is. You have a friend. Doesn't mean that you're, they don't make you more physically fit. They don't make you richer.
What are you seeing in Christian culture today, in the subculture, that concerns you, that makes you step back and say, this doesn't seem right?
I think my biggest concern is that we have more faith in our understanding of Jesus than we do in Jesus. Does that make sense?
Talk about it.
I think that the reason why God said, first, don't have any other gods before me, and then he said, don't make graven images, is because as humans, we always have a tendency, because we're flesh and blood, and part of us, what we see is what we take into us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we all have that tendency to create an image of God. A lot of times, our image of God is a projection of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason, I think the reason why a lot of us see God as being judging and keeping score and that sort of thing is because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the God that we worship is not the God who revealed himself in the person of Jesus, but the God that, we put this face of the Breck Lady Jesus that we see in church all the time, we put that face on our character and we worship it. And we wind up in trouble. I think G.K. Chesterton says that, my love. He was talking about how people think that that logic will keep us sane.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he says, actually, the opposite is true. Logic drives us crazy. And then he said this thing that I love. He said, a poet is happy to get his head into the heavens. A mathematician wants to get the heavens into his head. And it is his head that splits. And Mitch and I were just talking on the way up. If you think you've got it, if you think you get it, you haven't got it. That God is always going to be bigger than what we imagine him to be. God is always going to be bigger than what we understand him to be. And the difficulty I have with my own faith and the faith of a lot of people around me is that, if you're a Calvinist, then you assume Calvinism is right. And I kind of go, Calvinism has good points and has,
five of them.
At least, yeah. But it's not the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, Arminianism the same way.
But, part of that is that American Christians are really uncomfortable with ambiguity. We right. want to have everything in a formula, in three steps, five, you know, we want a formula. And if God is really infinite
yes.
and immeasurable, then you can't do that with God. And the minute you start doing that with God, you've left something out. So when we come up with these kind of airtight, this is one of the things that I love. When I went to seminary, I decided that I could never be a systematic theologian, because systematic theologians want to take everything and make it fit.
Right.
And then I started seeing that somebody that wanted to study this chapter and this chapter and this chapter and see the points where they fit, and then these parts left over say, well, that's from God too. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with it, but that is from God too. I started realizing that it doesn't all fit, because God won't fit in the Word. What we have in the Bible is a revelation of God, but it's not all of God.
And, right. It's as much of God as he wanted us to know.
Exactly.
And I kind of go, you know, this is exactly like my dad. There were things about my dad I didn't know when I was five.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that he would provide for me. Mm-hmm. I knew that he would, I knew that as long as I lived in his house, I had to go by his rule. I mean, there were things that he let me know. But I didn't know that my dad had done this when he was a kid or done that when he was a kid. I didn't know that there were dreams that he had that he didn't tell me about. Because as a five-year-old, I couldn't have understood him. I couldn't have appreciated
Now,
him.
You were raised in a Christian home.
Yes.
And in a church environment. But you're a very independent thinker. How did that happen?
I think the church really nurtured independence. I mean, independent thinking. My mom was Quaker, and my dad couldn't stand Quakers because he just doesn't get along with pacifists. And
a pacifist and a war maker. What a great combination.
Yeah, which explains why I'm schizophrenic. But
the peaceful warrior.
My dad, when he became a Christian, we started going to the Christian church, because the handy thing about being Quaker is you can go anywhere you want. I mean, it has more to do with, it's more of a discipline than a set of
right.
of doctrines. But in all of them, we were always encouraged. And you know, this is where I don't understand why people are in favor of multiculturalism and independent thinking, those kinds of things, always want to attack the church. Because I kind of go, man, when I was a kid, we were always encouraged to express our faith and to find ways to express it, and we were never stifled in that.
So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pull me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that is born in me, these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a man who is longing for his home. And there's more that dances on the prairies than the wind, and more that pulses in the ocean than the tide. There's a love that is fiercer than the love between friends, more gentle than a mother's when a baby's at her side. And there's a loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiments, and the music higher than the songs that I can sing. The stuff of earth competes for the allegiance I owe only to the giver of all good things. So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pull me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that is born in me, these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a man who is longing for his home.
Join us for the continuation of our conversation with Rich Mullins tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.
And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you.